My efforts to control this situation are not working. Maybe let's join in on the fun and let them get it out of their system. You know, let them be wild a little bit. Be wild with them. And then everybody gets to have that exhale moment where, okay, actually, embracing this chaos was our ironic ticket into the peace and quiet that we were seeking.
That's Brian Gerline, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. In addition to This Is Not a Sleepy Bear book, Brian Gerline is the author of the picture book, The Book of Rules. He also created the website Picture Book Spotlight, which we'll learn more about later. Brian, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you, Dan.
Tell us about the inspiration for This Is Not a Sleepy Bear book.
Yeah. So this is a few years ago, but at the time I was working at Mid-Continent Public Library up in Excelsior Springs. And for whatever reason, I was noticing as I was shelving books, a good quantity of like winter, you know, gentle, quiet, cozy, hibernating bear type books. And that was the initial entry point. And it was like, oh, these are all pretty calm. What if I did the opposite of that? And so it was like, let's take a hibernation bear book that has, you know, bedtime tropes and work in some surprises and unexpected energy that you wouldn't normally find with that style of book. And it's just, it was a lot of fun to write.
So this bear needs to hibernate or he'll become a grumpy bear and no one wants that.
Nobody wants that.
But his friends seem to have different ideas.
Yes, they are up to something. These woodland animals are clearly up to something. And much to the chagrin of the owl narrator, who is just trying, he represents all parents who are just trying to get their kid to sleep. We've had a long, hard day, and it's just time to go to bed. And everything is thwarting these efforts. So they're up to something. We don't know what they're doing, but it is not a sleep conducive environment, let's say, every time they open the den.
And parents will recognize this because it seems like a lot of kids at bedtime, they suddenly get this burst of energy instead of settling down like you want them to.
It is amazing. And this is something I recognize as a father over the last few years. We have a 6.5-year-old and a 4.5-year-old. And you're right. Bedtime is often the most wound up part of the day. And when you're just trying to get them settled, it can be a battle. It can be the opposite of what you expected, you know, an evening to be, to calmly, you know, usher them into sleep. And yeah, parents are absolutely going to recognize that, particularly the need at times to speed the story up and maybe cut some corners and, you know, do the fast forwarded version of whatever you're reading them for bed.
And that's where some of the humor comes in, because the owl, he says, okay, we have to try this again. And he keeps making it shorter and shorter as he does. To give people a taste of this, would you read a little bit of the book for us?
Yeah. So I like that you highlighted that convention that drives the comedy. It's so true. So it's like two styles have been written. We've got this poetic, lyrical, you know, classic story time feel in the text that I was echoing what I was seeing in these other books that inspired it. And then it totally gets flipped on its head and you'll see the difference. So here's how the opening part starts. Deep in the woods, leaves swirled to the ground. Morning frost sparkled on the forest floor. Bear sniffed the crisp air and knew it was time. Time for a long winter's nap. Without his nap, he'd be a cranky bear. And who wants to be a cranky bear? We fast forward and the structure of that textual structure gets completely broken down with, this is my favorite part of the book. Time for a sleepy bear book, super abridged edition. Stuff about winter, stuff about bear, blah, 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 cranky yawn.
Yeah. And the owl, who, as you said, is the narrator of this, at the very end, finally decides, well, I'll just kind of go for it. Let them play out their energy. And then everyone can go to sleep.
And I do think that I was playing on, you know, they always say, write what you know. And I think that is a lesson that's deeply in my bones as a father that, you know, you kind of, at a certain point, you have to maybe raise that white flag and go, okay, my efforts to control this situation are not working. Maybe let's join in on the fun and let them get it out of their system. You know, let them be wild a little bit. be wild with them. And then everybody gets to have that exhale moment where, okay, actually embracing this chaos was our ironic ticket into the peace and quiet that we were seeking to provide. And what I think I love about the ending is, again, lots of nods to parents. Is oftentimes I think parents are more tired than the children, and the owl narrator is the one who's passed out in the end. So I totally just ruined it. But and ironically, the bear, who is supposed to be the one hibernating, he never sleeps at all, and he's still awake on the very, very last spread with owl snoring away, because, man, this has been a hard journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have faith that the bear will eventually go to sleep here.
I have no doubt.
So this is a book which I enjoyed reading as an adult, and adults will be reading this book to children. So obviously have the children in mind, but it sounds like you kept adults in mind as well as you were writing this story.
I'm really passionate about that as a children's author, because picture books are uniquely positioned as a medium where kids aren't reading them. They are listening to them. Kids can certainly read them, and they should, and picture books are for everybody. I want to qualify that. But 99% of the time, the context in which kids and adults experience picture books is an auditory medium where the adult is reading to the child. And as a theater guy, as an actor, and I fundamentally approach storytelling as a playwright, as somebody crafting a mini performance for a group, for a family, I'm thinking about both audiences, and I've got to play to both. I've got to have my kids 100% are my focus in their delight, their curiosity. They're having a positive experience around literature, but I am also sprinkling in little things just for the grownups. My favorite line of the whole book, and which ended up being my agent's favorite line, and she tried to kill this line. I will never let her forget that. It is totally just for the adults. So in one of the scenes where the owl has opened the den and everything is just bonkers, the owl's commentary is something even worse. There's something even worse in here, and there's balloons everywhere. This is a cozy catastrophe and probably against fire code. Just that one line of like, hey, this is kind of dangerous in here. This is not good for fire code. Kids don't know what fire code is, but the adults do. And hey, maybe that creates a conversation around fire safety. And hey, you're welcome. But so fun to play to both sides, really.
A lot of people will look at a picture book and think that it's easy.
Ugh.
But the reality is there are so many constraints. You have a limited number of pages. You have to be careful about the words you use. And you have to tell a full story in a very short amount of time.
I think it's truly humbling and good. And I never want to get to a point as an author where I'm like, this is easy. I'm just phoning this in. You know, I'm just cranking out another one, you know, going through the motions. I think every single one has unique challenges, and it is deceptively challenging. Like you said, you pick these up and you go, oh, well, I could write this. People are writing this. This could be a nice, you know, way to have some passive income here. And I think a lot of people, you know, make attempts to write a children's book. But once you start doing it, it is just so hard. Not only do you have a finite number of words, you have like under 500 words to tell the story. And like you said, a finite number of pages, usually 32 the most. There's the convention of picture books being a medium where kids are getting information through the pictures and the art. That means that I can't write a story that is entirely dependent on just my words. I have to create moments where kids have to make visual inferences and rely on the art to help tell the story. And that means I need to get out of my own way and create gaps where they are having to rely on the art. And Jen Harney, oh my goodness, this woman, I love working with her. She's so much fun, so much that was not written into this book that she added that made this our book. It's so fun what she was able to do.
Well, and people may not also realize that as you're putting together this sort of dance between the words and the graphics, that often the illustrator and the writer never directly communicate. It's all through an editor, which is really key in putting this all together.
In the traditional space, you're exactly right. There is no conversation. Now, because Jen is a wonderful human being and was very open. There was some messaging on Instagram back and forth, just, you know, I'm so excited to work with you. I love your style and love your previous books. I feel like I won the jackpot. You know, just some pleasantries. But the one thing I added, I said, people on Twitter and online know that I'm kind of obsessed with wolves. I was like, if there could be even one wolf in this book, I would just be over the moon. And she goes, say no more. There's going to be a wolf. And there certainly is a wolf in the ensemble character, very prominently displayed. But everything else is controlled editorially. There can be art notes that I can work into the manuscript, but sometimes those don't get seen. And it's the artist's interpretation to add their own spin on it and add layers that are fun for them. And the visual comedy, it cannot be understated. One of my favorite characters that she added was this jazz flute playing snake, and he's wearing a fedora. I call him the fedorable jazz flute snake because and she goes, Brian, did you know that that's the only character that I added with clothing? And I was like, no way. And I checked and she's right. It's the only character. And he's just, you know, he's in the background. He's an ensemble character, but he is so fun. And then there's DJ Goose. Just there's stuff I never would have even thought to add that she's just a brilliant comedian herself. And what's able to come out in the end is just magic.
And the owl actually likes the flute music.
He does. He has a change of heart. He's like, that's delicious. That's wonderful. That's music to my ears. Let's just dance. And that'll make us all tired. And so, yeah, the takeaway is have a dance party before bed and everybody's going to be sleeping great.
Now, this is your second picture book. Do you see more picture books in your future?
Oh, very much. Yeah. I don't think I'll be able to shake the habit. I have a third picture book that we're waiting to hear who's going to be illustrating it. And that's through Penguin Random House Dial. I can't even share the title yet because it's not officially, you know, public, but that is in the works. And I've got other manuscripts that are kind of in the oven and being developed and are out with editors for consideration. So the ideas keep coming. And what's nice about our season of life right now as parents, my wife and I have two picture book age reading kids. And so in our house, we are constantly reading picture books and that's a source of inspiration. It's a petri dish for me to experiment and notice and pay attention to what my target audience is enjoying and what they want to pull off the shelf and what they're noticing. It's so yeah, I think this is going to be a decades long endeavor for me.
So you've got your own little focus group there.
I do. Yeah, I'm like, Daddy has a new idea for a book. Do you want to hear it? Sure. So I'm like describing it to my 6-year-old. I'm like, does that sound like something I should even write? And he's like, yeah, Dad. He's like, Peter's just a whole, like, he's just a big cheerleader. So I know it's very likely there'll be a time when they grow up and, you know, it'll be like, oh, Daddy has another picture book coming out. And they'll be like, yeah, cool, Dad. Can I have the car keys? Yeah. So, also, when are you going to write a real book, like a young adult novel? Because, you know, 500 words, really? And I'm like, oh, there was a ton. But yeah. Oh, I mean, the unboxing videos we made of getting the author copies with the boys. First, Peter, when he was just about 3, with the Book of Rules, sat him down and he opened the books and just squealed with delight. And he calls it the Dennis book. And he's like, I want to read it. I want to read Daddy's book. And it's just like, oh, my heart is so full as an author to see a kid so excited about something I wrote. But then as a father to see a son proud of your work is, you can't describe that.
I want to ask you about the website that you created, because not only are you someone who's dedicated to making these books yourselves, you'd like to spotlight other picture book creators. So tell us about your website.
Yeah, when I first started to really take this hobby seriously, I had a blog, like a literary blog where I posted stuff, but I kind of overhauled it and changed my focus to just spotlight picture books and interview illustrators and authors and agents and people that were champions for picture books. And when I first started, I was doing, you know, 4 posts a month, just a lot. And it's kind of, as I've gotten older and busier as a high school English teacher and father and author, I've not had a ton of time to spotlight individual picture books, but it's still a pet project of mine. Now it's a place to advertise my own books, as well as I run a story coaching service on this site. So people that are trying to get published, I work with all kinds of authors, people that want to be traditionally published or self-published, and people can essentially hire me to work with them as a client on Zoom, and I'll read your picture book and give you feedback, and I have a mentorship service and do written critiques. And so that's been a huge aspect of my career that's also been inspirational for me, because it's getting me thinking about my own picture books. And I've learned a lot through teaching. I think when you have to teach something, you really have to know it. And I think teachers learn the most when they're teaching. That's been a huge blessing for our family and just been fun.
The picture book is This Is Not a Sleepy Bear Book, written by Brian Gerline and illustrated by Jennifer Harney. Brian, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you, Dan. You had fantastic questions.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.